Chapter 30. Sidney DeRogers was on his way to George Giroux's house to mow the lawn when the truck went by him. He didn't pay any close attention to the black truck with the gray tarpaulin cover, but he would tell people later at the Rainbow Club that he did feel a cold chill when the truck went by. The truck turned left on the main street 2 blocks up ahead of Sidney, but he thought it was just another truck delivering something at one of the department stores. Around 11 o'clock, George Giroux's wife, Lucy, came out into the yard where Sidney was raking up the grass and leaves and told him that she wanted him to go uptown to Edwin's department store and get her a large spool of white thread. Sidney drove the 6 blocks in Lucy's car, and as he was approaching the store, he saw a crowd of people standing on the sidewalk facing the courthouse. Parked beside the courthouse was the same truck that Sidney had seen at 8 o'clock that morning. The tarpaulin had been rolled back, and 2 men sat at the tail end of the truck, talking and smoking cigarettes. Sidney parked a little distance beyond the department store and walked back. He saw many people he knew, both white and colored, but no one paid him any attention. They were too concerned with the truck parked beside the courthouse. When Sidney came into the store, he found all the clerks up at the front, trying to see what was going on in the truck. He stood back waiting, but no one paid him any attention. Finally, he told one of the women that Miss Lucy had sent him up there for a spool of coarse white thread. Without looking around, the woman told him to go and find it himself. When he came back to pay her, she told him to have Lucy send the money some other time. My aunt did not sleep at the house the night before. Like many of the other older people in the quarter, she spent the night with Miss Emma. Some of the others took shifts, but my aunt stayed there the whole night. Reverend Ambrose was there until midnight. Then he went home to get some sleep, because the sheriff had told him he wanted all witnesses at the courthouse no later, absolutely no later, than 11:30 the next morning. Vivian and I sat in the corner of the Rainbow Club that night. There were more than a dozen people in the place, but it was quieter than I had ever seen it. Vivian held on to her one drink all the time she was there, and when she left, she still had not finished it. She had gone to church after her class that afternoon, and she told me she would go again the next morning. She told me that from noon until she heard, she would have her students on their knees beside their desks. She left the Rainbow Club at 9. After walking her to the car and kissing her goodnight, I went back inside and stood at the bar. Claiborne wiped glasses and did not talk to anybody. He served you when you raised your glass for another drink, or your bottle for another beer. Then he went back to wiping glasses. Thelma had closed up the cafe just after 9 and gone home. Claiborne said he was going to close up at 11 tonight. I told him I wanted a half pint to take with me. Claiborne wrapped it in a brown paper bag and I paid him, but we didn't look directly at each other. At 10:30, I left. But I still didn't want to go home, and I drove to a bar in Port Allen. I ran into a guy there who knew me and wanted to talk about it, but I didn't want to talk about it, and after I had a drink, I started back for the quarter. I got back there about midnight. The place was pitch black, except for the light on Miss Emma's porch. A couple of cars I didn't recognize were parked in front of the house. I suppose they were family or friends who had come to be with her tonight. I didn't stop. There was nothing more to say. I went on home. I took the bottle out of the paper bag and drank about half of it. I had bought the liquor to make me sleep, but God knows now I didn't want to sleep. I didn't want to dream. Not tonight.